In the name of God, the Father, our Creator, the Son, who for our sake was crucified, and the Holy Spirit, the giver of life. Amen. Amen. This testing of Abraham, called in the Jewish tradition the binding, meaning the binding of Isaac, takes the air out of the room, at least for me. Takes the breath away, I think, from the sons and daughters of Abraham, the people of faith. How many tears did Abraham shed on this three-day journey and on the climb up the mount? It's a story that's told so briefly compared to the gravity of it, the weight of it, the solemnity of it, the fear and trembling of it. So many questions between and around every single verse. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Abraham had God's promise that through this son, the whole world would be blessed, that it'd become a great nation. How is it possible that God would test Abraham in this way? But not a word from Abraham. Verse 3 goes on and says, he rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. No arguing with God like he did over Sodom, that sinful city. No talking to Sarah like he did, like, what are we going to do? How are we going to fulfill God's promise? And no, he cut the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God told him. He was so intentional, so deliberate, rising early, cutting the wood to take it on this journey for a fire, for a burnt offering. I wouldn't have done that. I would have hoped that we got there and it was like, oh, the mountain, there's no trees, we just can't do it. Very intentional in his worship and obedience of God. Goes on and says, on seeing the place, Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey and I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. I and the boy, I noticed the ESV has a footnote saying it can and I would say should be young man. It's the same word as has just been said about the young men, presumably as servants, just one's plural and one's singular. But he says, we will go and worship and we will come again to you. Abraham, by his actions, says yes to God, to God's command, to God's test. He says yes to being torn apart inside. On the one hand, he had God's promise. And we already heard chapters and chapters ago that he believed and God reckoned that to him as righteousness. He was a man of faith and trust in the impossible. And then he had this contradictory command, this test. There's no way those two things can be held together. Light and brightness and future on the one hand, and darkness and emptiness and death on the other hand. And even while saying yes to this tearing apart, Abraham We don't know if it's intentionally or unintentionally, but he prophesies, if you will, when he says, we will go and worship, and we will return to you. And a later Jewish commentator, in fact, even non-Christian Jewish commentators make this point, but we see it in Hebrews chapter 11, you can look it up, where that Jewish commentator said, Abraham believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead. And in fact, he did receive him back, as it were, from the dead, the writer says. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them, together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, he's starting to get an idea here, my father, and his father said, here I am. Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. Abraham doesn't say much in this account, and that's one of the shocking things. This is his kind of silent obedience, austere. But he does say, here I am, twice to God and once to Isaac. And that is actually a deeper, more packed word than we might recognize. That word hineni in the Hebrew, it really means attentiveness and readiness, willingness to obey. Here I am. Send me where you will. I'm ready. So there's that side of him. And then these two comments he makes, you know, we will return to you and God will provide. So he has faith and trust, maybe holding to God's promise somehow, though he has no idea how. So they went, both of them, together, unified, walking together to this sacrifice, this offering. What is going on with Abraham? What is going on with Isaac? Is Abraham trying to hide his tears from his son? Again, Jewish commentators say later in the story, they're both weeping. And Abraham's tears are falling onto Isaac, and Isaac is weeping as well. Yet they're determined to honor and hallow the name of God. They came to the place of which God had told him. Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. Again, this passage is referred to, it's named in Jewish tradition and their writings as the binding or the Akedah, the binding of Isaac. They, as much as it's about Abraham's 10th trial and it is about Abraham, the father of faith, they want to elevate the importance of Isaac in this story. Isaac, the young man. Isaac, who's beginning to get an idea. There's not a lamb here. Isaac, who was strong enough to carry the wood up the mount for a fire that would presumably consume a big person. If he was, and here's what they say, if he was strong and able enough to carry that wood up the mount, he was strong and able enough to push his 120-something-year-old father away and get out of there. But he didn't. And in fact, Jewish tradition goes on to say it was Isaac's idea to be bound. So that in the act of the offering, he wouldn't flinch and without thinking go to move the knife and then be cut in a way and actually be an unblemished sacrifice. It's very profound and very deep. as they went together, as they approached this together. And this story is a really big story in early Christianity, and when Christianity was Jewish. It was one of the principal stories that was preached on in the big 3 days of the celebration of the passion and resurrection of Jesus. Again, I want to emphasize this terrible conflict of on the one hand and on the other hand. Having God's promise to which Abraham holds tenaciously and having this incredulous command which he seeks to fulfill unswervingly. But the angel of the Lord called from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And God said, "I know you fear me. Do not harm your son. You've not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And behold, there was a ram. And he offered that to the Lord. And he said, "As the Lord will provide." Couple of thoughts. To be clear, this is a test. It says it right in the beginning. Abraham didn't know that. But the text says God tested Abraham with the purpose of strengthening his faith. The word there for test in the Hebrew is actually the same word related to the word banner, something you lift up. This test was not to destroy him or bring him down. It was actually to draw him closer to God in faith and trust. It's a test. Some of us are old enough to remember when the TV went really weird, both visually and sounding, and it said, "This is a test of the emergency broadcasting system." You know, there wasn't an emergency going on, but it was a test. How will you respond? Again, to be clear, God never intended for Abraham to slaughter Isaac. In fact, that's not in the text. It's only used in the text when Abraham was getting ready to finally do the sacrifice. What God said was, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and offer him, or go up." It's just the word to go up. It's the word aliyah that Jews use to go up to Jerusalem. And go up to the burnt offering. But it can be interpreted, it can be understood as offer him up as a burnt offering, which is clearly what God wanted Abraham to think as we read this. But again, the rabbis and commentators say to hallow God's name, God was never going to let that happen because it's not true to his nature and his character and his revealed will. So children and parents, please hear that. Two closing thoughts or points connecting both to the gospel and to the epistle. One is that there is a call here to be like Abraham and be like Isaac. Fathers of our faith, by whom our God names himself, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We hear Jesus saying that he said this plainly. He was going to suffer, be rejected, and be killed. And on the third day, rise again. That's one of the links the early Jewish Christians made. On the third day, they went up for the sacrifice, Abraham and Isaac. On the third day, Jesus was raised back, given back from the dead. And then Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." The father, Abraham, laid the wood of the offering on his only son, whom he loved. And they went, both of them, together. Does that sound like something that happened on Holy Week? on a Good Friday a long time ago. And then Jesus says, whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. Isaac could have been, and I think this is the point of the test, Isaac could have been Abraham's life, without whom he could have chosen not to live. And even more so of Sarah, because Isaac was her only child, right? And this is part of our Lenten journey. What do we need to die to? What do we need to let go? What are we holding on for life so closely? Gabe shared about that last week. Like, how are our loves ordered? What do we love more than anything? And secondly, I think the only way to be like Abraham and Isaac is to know their God and our God, the God who will broach no rivals, no other loves before him. The God who entered into the conflict himself, sweating blood. I don't want to do this. No, no, no. Tearing his heart and his mind and his body apart. You love these people, but you have to be true to your law, your command. He was stretched and torn. In a nod to the testing of Abraham and the binding of Isaac, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not freely and generously give us all things? Yes, Abraham was willing, but the Father of Jesus actually did give his only son, whom he loved, for the life of the world, to bear the holy command in his body, to bear death and evil and suffering in his body for us and for our salvation. And so Paul goes on and says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Whatever you go through, whatever stretching and rending and difficulty and unbelievable, this doesn't make sense, we might go through. Paul says, whether it's tribulation, Abraham, distress, Abraham, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword, Isaac, as it is written, quoting the Psalms, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. Whatever you may go through, wherever you find yourself today, we are more than conquerors. We are super conquerors. Paul makes up a word here to emphasize it. We are super conquerors through him who loved us. I am persuaded nothing, not death, even if it does end up being death, or life, or angels, or powers, or things present, or things to come. Nothing in all creation. Hold on to that, even if it's ripping you apart. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. We can trust him. Oh, let us trust him. Thanks be to God.